السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. Hello my kiram, most respected brothers and also sisters who listen over the receivers. It is the month of Ramadan, and as I stated, that wherever you go, inshallah, you will be listening to something about taqwa. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala declares in the Quran Sharif that that is the purpose of prescribing fasting upon us as He prescribed on those before us, so that we may develop this God consciousness. If a Muslim and a believer in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not have God consciousness, if he is not conscious of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's presence at all times, then there will be no way that he can attract others into the fold of Islam, because people will be observing him, people will be seeing his lifestyle, people will be seeing him as a Muslim but indulging in so many kinds of vices and evils. They will be seeing him in the casinos, they will be seeing him at the disco, they will be seeing him in the rave club, they will be seeing him popping drugs in his mouth. Of course, if those drugs have been prescribed by some physician, then it is a different case. Once one girl with disheveled hair, looking very, very confused and in a terrible state, just dashed in and barged in into our madrasa office and asked a question. The Mawlana, you all say drugs are haram. So I said, who said drugs are haram? He said, but don't you all say drugs are haram? So I said, no, we didn't say drugs are haram. So now she got very confused, because she was sick, you could see she was high on drugs. So I said, we say that those drugs which put you on such a high that you can't even differentiate between right and wrong, between brother and sister, between mother and father, where the person becomes dazed and confused and goes into a different world, then those are the drugs that we say are prohibited, because it is for your own benefit. Because what is the person doing when he is purchasing drugs? Is it going to give him any kind of health, strength, vitality? What is it going to give? At the end of the day, the person has purchased something that will bring nothing but destruction in his life. So I said, if you go to a supermarket and you say that I'm looking for some kind of food or some kind of grocery or some kind of product that will destroy my health, if a person has to go and ask for something that will destroy his health, then what would that person say? The salesman would say that it looks like you're mad, you're stupid. People are coming to our shop and they are going to the health shops, and it's a multi-billion rand industry, health foods, and you are asking for something that will destroy your health. So it shows that you are not sensible, you sound foolish. So like that we have to explain that this is the harm of those drugs. Otherwise, if a physician has prescribed some drug, we're not talking about those. Nevertheless, what I was saying is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif that the purpose, the objective of prescribing fasting is so that we may become God conscious. And when a person becomes conscious of the presence of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then what does it lead to? It leads to restraining from everything that is sinful, that is haram, that is forbidden. And whichever way you look at it, I've mentioned this before too, but as I said, that whatever will come in my mind, I say that whichever way you look at it, take any sin in the world, anything which Islam and Shariat and Quran has prohibited, forbidden, there's nothing but goodness in it. Nothing but goodness. Any sin that you take which Shariat has prohibited, there's nothing but goodness in that prohibition. If Allah Ta'ala had not prohibited it, if Shariat had not prohibited it, then we would have said that there is a defect, there is a deficiency in Islam. That a thing which would have been of harm to any human being, not only a Muslim, anything that would have been of harm to any person, the Quran did not prohibit, or Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not prohibit, so therefore there's a deficiency, there's a weakness. Like say if Islam had not prohibited gambling, or Islam had not prohibited adultery and fornication, or Islam had not prohibited stealing, so then we would have all said that there's a deficiency. So any sin, because Allah Ta'ala is our maker, He is our creator. Any person who makes a machine, then he knows that what is going to be good for this machine and what is not. So much so that they even recommend which kind of oil must be used for that machine. The car manufacturer, he also gives you specifications that this is what you must do. So much of pressure in your tires. This is the kind of oil that you must use. And this is what you must do if this goes wrong or that goes wrong. They give you all specifications. Now if the person follows those specifications, then that car moves smoothly. But if he does not, and he abuses it, or he goes against the car maker's specifications, where there was supposed to be petrol, so in the petrol tank the person puts water, and the radiator where there's supposed to be water, he puts oil. So will that car move? So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the maker of man, and He knows every part of the human body better than any scientist in the world, and better than any doctor and any physician and any specialist in the world. The specialists are making investigations and research on one part of the body for years and years, and still they cannot come to conclusion. Look at the new inventions of machines and the new products that are coming on the market for the cure of this and for the cure of that. And every time they are coming up with new theories. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He knows fully well the eye, the ear, the nose, the tongue, the heart, the liver, the lungs. Allah Ta'ala knows exactly, because He is the maker. So now He will tell us how to make use of our eyes, how to make use of our ears, where to make use of our tongue, what kind of speech must we give, what kind of statements must we make. Will our statement tear and slice up the heart of our wife, our children, our family members, the poor, the needy? Or will our tongues create happiness? Where must we use the tongue? So just as the car manufacturer gives us specifications and gives us guidelines, like that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He too has given us guidelines. He has given us specifications, and the whole Quran Sharif is for that. The whole Quran Sharif is a 30 para letter from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Just as a father sending a letter to his son who is studying overseas somewhere, then there he gives guidelines. That, my dear beloved son, and I've mentioned it in the Quran Khatam Jalsa the other night, that if the person has to write a letter to his son, nowadays it's easy, we've got telephones and cell phones and we've got very fast and speedy communication. But just ask those people 30 years ago, 50 years ago, when they should travel out overseas, they must await some letter arriving by post, and it should take days to come. There wasn't these facilities. So in those days, if a person had sent his son, and from India, Pakistan, those people at that time used to sell their land, they used to sell their jewelry, they used to sell everything so that the son may go and qualify as a barrister, or he may qualify as an attorney, or he may qualify as some physician or doctor or anything like that. So now they had to write letters to them. Those letters will go by boat, and after many days it will arrive. So the parents used to write nasihats advices. My dear beloved son, make sure that you don't get caught up there in all those sinful things that are happening there in London. You must not get caught up with some non-Muslim woman there. You must not also lose yourself like others have lost themselves. So they write whole detailed letters. So like that, and then they make promises that if you qualify and come back, then I've got a nice house for you, I'll find you a nice bride, and I'll give you this and I'll give you that. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has also given us a 30-para letter. The Quran Sharif was revealed in the month of Ramadan as a guidance for mankind. We will get sawab and we will get reward if we read the Quran Sharif. For every letter that we read, we will get 10 blessings. But it was not intended just to get blessings by recitation. It is a guideline for every aspect of our life. Whether it is our political life, whether it is our economic life, whether it is our domestic, or whether it is marital life, or any part of our life, any angle that you look at it, you will find guidance for it from the Quran Sharif and the Hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِي. The person in Surah Fatiha, he said, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. He is asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for sirat-e mustaqim. He wants guidance on the straight path, the path that leads to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says that you asked for hidayat, you want sirat-e mustaqim. So ذَلِكَ الْكِتَاب, that book. That is why the word ذَلِكَ is used there. The demonstrative pronoun is for something that is at a distance. And here we got the Quran Sharif right in our hands. So it is actually in response to that, that where the person said, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, oh Allah Ta'ala, I want guidance on the straight path. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, you want guidance, you want to be on the straight path, you want to become my beloved, you want to become the beneficiary of all the things that I have created for the benefit of mankind, but with ease and with comfort and with peace and with happiness and with tranquility and with joy and with serenity, and you want the best of this world and you want the best of the akhirat. So now what must you do? If you want that, then ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِي. That book, that means the Qur'an Sharif, there is absolutely no doubt that that is the book of guidance. And if you have to follow the teachings of the Qur'an Sharif, if you have to follow the Qur'an Sharif, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give you that guidance. He will give you a life of peace and ease. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give you blessings and barakat after that in whatever you have. It is not how much you have that is barakat. Barakat is a different thing altogether. Our great grandfathers sometimes used to have just one corner shop, one small little corner shop. But from there they used to go for hajj, they used to take the family for hajj, they used to send money to their families and relatives, and they used to eat, and sometimes it's just one old man that's earning and 20 people were living on what he was earning. And he never complained that I'm battling and rattling. He said, Alhamdulillah. Anybody asked him, he said, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's fazl. And today I'm working, my wife working, my daughter working, my sister working, my aunt working, my grandmother working, my grandfather working, everybody working. And at the end of the day we say, not enough, Maulana, not enough. Ask any member of parliament, ask any cabinet minister, ask any king, ask any president of the country, is it enough? What you are earning, is it enough? On the one hand, a pensioner is earning a small little amount, and on the other hand, the person is earning millions of times more, but he will still say that that is not enough. He says, it's not sufficient. We want an increase. So barakat is something else. When Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives barakat, then in little also he puts that barakat. And in plentiful also he puts barakat. I mentioned just this morning in the talk that it is not how much you have or you don't have. The greatest ruler of the world, even if there was some ruler, he ruled over the whole world, he too can be a wali of Allah Ta'ala. He can be a friend of Allah Ta'ala. Yes. The Hadith Sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give shade under his throne to the Sultan who is Adil, to the ruler who is just. Now what does that mean? To the ruler who is just. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made him governor, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made him king, Allah ta'ala made him ruler over a vast territory, vast piece of land, and there are millions of citizens in that country. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that he will give him shade under his throne on the day of judgment, if he is adil, if he is just. So what do we conclude from that? We conclude that it is not haram to aspire or to reach the highest position in the land. A person can be a king, he can be a governor, he can be a minister, he can be a cabinet minister, he can be anything. But the condition is that he must follow that which is in the Quran and follow Rasulullah's teachings. And he must be honest, he must be truthful, he must be just. Then Allah Ta'ala will give him. So it is not how much a person has or he doesn't have. The richest person can be the greatest wali of Allah Ta'ala. And the poorest of the poor can be the greatest wali of Allah Ta'ala. So this month of fasting, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he says that the object, the purpose, the reason behind it is so that we get this God fear, we get this God consciousness. It just reminds me, suddenly this thought just came, that almost every year I give one example. Every year it has become customary for me. We say lots of things have become customary practices. So this is one customary practice of mine, every Ramadan. So why should I forego this customary practice this Ramadan by repeating the example? I always give this example, and wallah, believe me that many, many people, every Ramadan, although I repeat somewhere or the other, somebody will say, Maulana, that example really opened my eyes to reality and it changed the direction of my thinking. I see that if at iftar time a person is sitting and he's got everything in front of him there, his samosas, his bhajiyas and custard and faluda and everything else, and he's got very beautiful dates from Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif and everything, and it's just 3 minutes to go, and it is the month of Ramadan in a country the person is living where it is extremely hot, very, very hot, and the days are long. It is almost 17 hour day that the person has observed the fast, or 18 hours fast. Some places 18 hours they are fasting, 19 hours. So the person has observed the fast for 19 hours of the day, an extremely hot day, and everything is there. And now it's just 3 minutes to go before sunset, 3 minutes or 2 minutes to go before sunset. And I'll go even further and say it's just 1 minute to go before sunset. Just 1 minute before sunset. Now somebody has to tell him that, my dear beloved brother, what a good Muslim you are, how obedient you are to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that in such a hot day you observe the fast for 19 solid hours or 20 hours. Now it's just 1 minute to go. What difference will it make if you open your fast? Allah is pleased with you. You kept fast of 19 hours. So 1 minute difference, what does it make? Open your fast, don't worry. Then he says, who gave this fatwa? He said, all the imams of the Haram Sharif and of the world and all the muftis got together and they gave a fatwa that for a person like you, 2 minutes before sunset you can open the fast. Will he accept the fatwa? What will he say? He will say that whatever happens, it is the ruling of the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that you must open your fast after the sun sets. And the sun hasn't set as yet, so I cannot open my fast. So in other words, he is saying that I am obedient to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam when it comes to my fasting, that even if it is just 1 minute to go, my iman is so strong that I will not open my fast. Isn't that what he is saying? That his iman is so strong that although he observed the fast for 19 hours, he's not going to open it, because it is the hukam of Allah. It is the order of Allah Ta'ala. So is it not the order of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to make namaz 5 times a day? Or is that some other Allah who ordered us about fasting and there's another Allah who told us about salat? Is it not the hukam of Allah Ta'ala that we must give zakat? That we must go for hajj if farz? That we must be obedient to our parents, we must respect them, we must not say things that will hurt them, and the parents must be kind and loving and compassionate towards the children. They must give them proper education, they must discipline them according to the Quran and Sunnah. Is it not the hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that the person must not speak lies, that the person must not do injustice, that the person must not fornicate, he must not commit adultery, he must not go to the casinos and discos and theatres, because he has obeyed Allah Ta'ala in fasting. So we are now talking to a Muslim who is observing the fast, a Muslim who is saying that I'm obedient to Allah and I'm not prepared to open my fast 1 hour before time, because it is the hukam and the order of my one and only Allah. So you are talking to such a person. We are not talking to the disbelievers, to the kuffar, mushrikeen, yahud, nasara. We are talking to that person who has observed the fast. So is it not haram? Is it not the hukam of that same Allah that don't commit adultery, don't commit fornication, don't steal, don't gamble, don't drink, don't womanize? Whose hukam is that? Don't ill-treat your wives and children. Don't abuse anybody. Fulfill the rights of all. Whose hukam is that? Is some other Allah's hukam? So fasting is teaching us to obey Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in all our actions of life, all our activities of life. And then Allah will not benefit in any way. There's no benefit that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will gain. He is our creator, He is the provider, He is the sustainer, He is the nourisher, He is the cherisher. What benefit will He gain? What we will gain is that we will get taqwa. What we will gain by means of that fasting of that kind, in which the person is now fully conscious that all aspects of his life are coming right, so then he will get taqwa. And when he gets taqwa, then again that same Quranic verse, which by now you must have by hearted, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. The person who will get taqwa, that means he is conscious of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's presence, and therefore is restraining himself from everything that Allah Ta'ala has forbidden, and he is doing those things that Allah Ta'ala has ordered. So now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, on that, what will he do? He will definitely, most certainly, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will find, makhraj means an exit. He will find a way out for this person in all his problems, his difficulties, his hardships, his tests and trials, whatever he is going through. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will find a way out. He will find an exit from there. And Allah Ta'ala will provide for this person from sources unknown to him, where he had no guman that it will come from certain sources. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will open the doors. And this is the problem of mankind today. Problem of everybody. Our problem, human problem, everybody's problem. On the one hand, we are saying that we want solution to problems, different kinds of problems, political problem, domestic problem, marital problem, this problem, that problem. It looks like there's just no end to problems. And then on the other hand, we say poverty, poverty, poverty. There's a lot of poverty. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is saying that do this, develop taqwa, and then see how I provide for you. Look at the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There was a time when they had nothing. They had to tie stone on their bellies due to hunger. They didn't have sufficient clothes in winter. Nobody wanted to even rule over them. That was their condition. Poverty was at its height. But they developed taqwa gradually in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They developed taqwa. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala put the Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, and everything at their feet. And then so much of gold and silver flowed into Madina Sharif. They say that in the masjid, in the corner, they used to have some heaps and piles there. And the Sahaba Ikram used to go in the masjid, Allahu Akbar. They're not even looking at it. So much used to come. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala changed the condition. So it is not how much a person has or he doesn't have. But if he has taqwa, then Allah Ta'ala will give him a life of ease and happiness and contentment and satisfaction. And there's no ni'mat that is greater than contentment. There's no ni'mat that's greater than contentment, because all the rest of the wealth, even if he has plentiful, but if there's no contentment, then he is restless all his life. So once again I conclude that if Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with us, then it's not that he will deprive us of happiness, of contentment, of the ni'mats of this world. We will still eat well, we will wear well, we will travel, we will behave absolutely normal. But what we will get with all that is deep-hearted enjoyment and pleasure and happiness. There is no lunch today, so I give you that example again and I conclude. That Hazrat Shaykh Hakim Akhtar Sahab Damat Barakatuhum, he says he was having lunch with his Shaykh Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi. And Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi said, Hakim Akhtar, what have we got for lunch today? He said, doll. And most of the time he said, there was nothing but doll there. So whilst eating, he said, I am getting the taste and enjoyment of biryani in this doll. So he said, how can you be getting enjoyment of biryani in doll? He says, because my beloved Allah is feeding me with his own hands. So he said, how can Allah be feeding you with his hands? He said, this hand of mine, when I put into the doll and I pick it up and put in my mouth, who is it that is giving the strength to this hand? If he paralyzes it, can I pick it up? So it is he that is feeding me. So I'm getting an enjoyment that my Allah is feeding me. So I say that he was getting the enjoyment of biryani in doll, and because of our worries, because of our restlessness, anxieties, and our sins, and our evil actions and deeds, and our disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala has made our life so restless that we don't even get the enjoyment of doll in biryani anymore. Jisse hai aap khush is jahan mein, wo shab o roz hai gulsita mein. With whomsoever you are pleased, he'll be in gardens day and night. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq of amal, because we who preach are more in need of amal than those people who are listening. Today there's a lot of preaching but there's no amal. So Allah ta'ala give me tawfiq of amal, give the listeners tawfiq of amal. Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems, the tests and the trials that mankind is suffering around the globe, and especially the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala must change the conditions of adversity to that of prosperity and happiness. Change the conditions of insecurity to that of security. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.